나자이다나브라마니다나야야데이다고다나시바사디고
The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on October 31st, 1985. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Informed the Lord that the territory had been ruled by a Muslim governor who was a drunkard. Out of fear for this king, no one could wash the road freely.
Pichlada pajanto sabata rodikar tar bhoye norikeho haide naribar.
The jurisdiction of the Mohammedan government extended up to Pichlada. Due to fear of the Mohammedans, no one could cross the river. The Muslim government seemed to have been in charge of the district known as Mukhapur, provinces in Kirkwood. During the old days, Pichlada was part of the Kamaluka in Bengal. Pichlada is located about 14 miles south of Kamaluka. The river Rupnarayan is well known as in Kamaluka, and Pichlada was situated in the bank of the Rupnarayan River. This is just one part. It's like this, I explained that in the feudal system, there's landlords and then governors, or then there's small kings called rajas, then there's bigger kings who may have many small kings under them, they're called maharajas. And then there's emperors called samrat, who have many big kings under them, and there's a system where each king has to pay one third of their total revenue, and so many thousands of soldiers to the bigger king. And this way the bigger king is always the bigger. You don't have to pay one third, the two thirds they get to keep. When they're attacking some place, if the people fight and get defeated, they don't get anything. But say if they fight a little bit, if they really make a truce, they make a treaty, then, or if the guy makes a treaty, they don't usually fight a little bit. If he sees he might lose and he makes a treaty, then he may be kept there as the king for this Mohammedan governor. He's like a little king. The Mohammedan spies saw the wonderful characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he returned to the Mohammedan governor, he told him, a mendicant has come from Jagannath Puri with many liberated persons. Nirantar kore sobe Krishna Sankirtan Sobe hase nache gaye koraye krandam. All these saintly people incessantly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and they all laugh, dance, chant, and cry. Lokho lokho loka aiste kaha deki bare tare deki punarapi jaite nare gare. Many millions upon millions of people come to see him, and after they see him, they cannot return home. Seistabloka hoi baulera prai Krishna kohi nachi khande gura guri jai. All these people become madmen. They simply dance and chant the holy name of Krishna. Sometimes they even cry and roll on the ground. Gura guri rolls. Actually, seeing these things cannot even be described. One can understand them only by seeing. By his influence, I accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atha kohi sechor. Hare Krishna Gai, Hashi Kandi Nasi Gai, Bhavalera Bhai. After saying this, the messenger, the Mohammedan spire, he began to chant the holy names of Hari and Krishna. He also began to laugh and cry, dance and sing exactly like a madman. After singing Jogodaya Mon, Tini Gelo, Apun Vishash, Uriya Stane Patayu. On hearing this, the mind of the Mohammedan governor was changed. He then sent his own secretary to the representative of the Orissan government. Vishas Asiya Prabhur, Choran Ban Vilo, Krishna Krishna Kohi Preme, Vibola Hoylo. The Mohammedan secretary came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he offered his respects to the Lord's lotus feet and uttered the holy name of the Lord, Krishna Krishna, he also was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Dojja hoya uriyake kohe namaskari kumastane patayla mlecha odikari. After calming down, the Mohammedan secretary offered his respects and informed the representative of the recent government, the Mohammedan governor has sent me here. Tumi jodi agya deho etha ki asya chavan odikari jai prabhu ke miliya. You agree, the Mohammedan governor will come here to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then return. Bahuta utkanta tha karyache vinoy tumasane santi nahi jugdo hoy. The Mohammedan governor is very eager and he has submitted this petition with great respect. It is the proposal for peace. You need not fear that we will fight. Suni Mahapatra kohe hoya vishmoy madjap jhavane chitta aichike koroi. Upon hearing this proposal, the representative of the Orissa government, the Mahapatra, was very astonished. He thought, the Mohammedan governor is a drunkard who has changed his mind. Apone Mahaprabhuta monati railo darshana smorane jar jagatarilo. Must be Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was changed the Mohammedan's mind. Due to his presence and even due to his remembrance, the whole world is liberated. Translation of repetition. It must be.
It must be.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Himself.
Himself.
Who has changed the Mohammedan's mind.
Who has changed the Mohammedan's mind.
Due to his presence.
Due to his presence.
And even due to his remembrance.
And even due to his remembrance.
The whole world is liberated.
The whole world is liberated.
Therefore, from this we can understand that the Mohammedan governor was a drunkard, madhyab. Ordinarily, there was no chance that he would change. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could turn anyone's mind to Krishna consciousness. One can be delivered from material existence simply by remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's holy name or by visiting him. This Krishna consciousness movement is being spread throughout the world, but not even one yavana or mlecha addicted to drinking could have changed and accepted Krishna consciousness without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace. People are often astonished to see many thousands of Westerners converted to Vaishnavism. Generally, Westerners are addicted to meat eating, drinking, gambling, and illicit sex. Therefore, their taking up Krishna consciousness is astonishing. In India, especially, there is much astonishment at this. The answer, however, is given here. Darshana smorane jai jagatari lo. This change is made possible by the remembrance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Western devotees are very nice, sincerely chanting the holy names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, people are being purified and their consciousness directed from Maya to Krishna. The word Viswasa refers to a secretary. This title is generally found among the Kayastha caste in the Hindu community. In Bengal, the title Viswasa is still used by the Kayasthas. The word Viswasa means faithful, and a Viswasi is a person in whom one can place faith. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that during the Mohammedan reign in Bengal, there was a secretary entitled Viswasa Khana. The office of the Viswasa Khana was a secretariat office in which only the most reliable people were employed. They were elected from the Kayastha community, a community that is still very expert in managing business and government affairs. The secretary of Visvasakana is generally a very reliable and faithful servant. Whenever some confidential service was needed, these officers were employed. It was even the Mohammedan rulers, when they wanted the confidential work to be done, they would have one of these Hindu Viswasis do it. Viswasa is a kayasta. Kayasta is a mixture between a Brahmin and Kshatriya. And they're like administrators and things, but not in a political sense, but like bureaucrats. Sometimes they say they're Kshatriya and Vaishya, and some say they're, depends on different parts of India, but they're a little bit of a mix. But they have a part of a Kshatriya tendency, and they have a part of another tendency. It's interesting how, generally because of the Vedic culture, the people are a little more peaceful. They found that the people from the Vedic Varnashram system were more reliable. And in the story, one time the emperor of Bengal, he was giving a big feast. And so he fed all the Mohammedan, and one side, the emperor was a Mohammedan, he fed all his Mohammedan generals and lords and whatnot on one side, and on the other side, all of his big, highly placed Hindu officers, he fed. They were cooked and fed by Brahmanas, and this serving prasad and cooking is a tradition which Brahmanas would generally do. And if the Brahmana cooks, everyone can take it. If the Sudra cooks, no other, no Kshatriya Brahmana would take. So it's a custom that the Brahmanas would cook. There are special Brahmanas who their service is cooking. And offering to the deity, they cook, they offer the deity, and then even the Brahmanas serve this prasad. Although it may not always be a Brahman service, but at least they cook. So there was, after this big feast, some of the Mohammedan generals came up to the king and said, "Just see, we have finished all the food on our plates, clean. But these Hindus, they left some of the things on their plate. They didn't eat everything." They're criticizing like that. And then the king said, the emperor said, "Yes." They're just like, if one of you assassinate me, then you will not only kill me, but you'll kill my wife, my children, my entire dynasty. But if they assassinate me, they try a coup, they'll just kill me and leave the rest of my family." And the history of many of the Islamic histories had this kind of tendency where there was some violence. Not so much, at least in this part of India there was. So even to this day we see that the most troubled part in the world, for some reason, is that Middle East. Their method is no aspersion on Muhammad, because certainly he gave very wonderful teachings. But there's somewhere in the Parampara, I've heard that there wasn't maybe strictly kept in line with Mohammedan teachings. He said to separate politics and religion and many other things which were not followed so much later. I don't know why in the history, but we can even see that at that time there was this difficulty, and at this time, even in present day, with this terrorist, or with the Lebanon, Iraq, about of the 40 wars going on in the world, about a good number of high percentage of them are being done, especially in those places. So, even though the rulers were Muhammad, they couldn't fully trust their own son, because there was many times the son would kill the father to take over the throne early. Couldn't wait until he got natural ascension. So it's a very kind of, I don't know exactly if you don't want to say anything, I'm just generalizing. You can throw you over. But generally, the culture is very much based on eating meat and things like that. Maybe that's what gives them a little bit of additional passion. The point is that Not only was normally, you see, Mohammedans, if a person is a strictly religious Mohammedan, he won't drink. But this was a so-called Mohammedan who was a drunkard. You see, like in Saudi Arabia, there's no drinking allowed, legally. You all fly to the Bahrain, which is previously was a British colony, and they have caravans and casinos and things, so we go there. I was visiting Bahrain during their Eid festival. There were thousands of Saudi Arabians who came in during their like Christmas time to get, you know, to observe Christmas or welcome their Eid by wetting their palate with the brews. So just trying to prove that strictly if you follow the principles given by Muhammad, you don't drink, you don't gamble, you don't do any of the things. But you have, is that like a real positive alternative? There's no bliss. They are very strict. It's very strict. If you follow it properly, I'm sure that you can make a lot of advancement. But, you know, considering the Kali Yuga and other desires and things, sometimes even 300 or 500 years ago, it was very hard for them to restrain themselves. And this particular governor was actually being a drunkard. He wasn't even a very strict, well, he was Mohammedan, which meant that there was no dietary restriction, practically speaking. There was other little restriction, but at least drinking was one restriction, but he didn't also follow that. He was even a drunkard, so he was a pretty kind of a questionable character. On top of that, it indicated he was also somewhat of a robber. He would send his soldiers and rob the pilgrims and travelers on the road. So all in all, I mean, the person was a pretty much of an anti-social kind of an element, although he was in a very powerful position. But he was sending his own person over to Lord Chaitanya. By hearing about Lord Chaitanya, his mind had become changed. So then, certainly this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. In the Western world, it's a little bit different, of course, and the people, on the other hand, are very attached to sense gratification, and their minds are always disturbed. They're taking some, you know, if there's a little bit of anxiety, their natural tendency is to take some intoxication to relieve it. If there's a little pull or urge from any of the senses, they think that they immediately have to satisfy it. The idea of austerity or controlling the mind and senses for a higher purpose, apart maybe for some period of cramming for exams in college, and maybe some, you know, big, for some material effort they may do it, but for a spiritual purpose it's not very visible in the modern world today. But Lord Chaitanya's mercy came down to Srila Prabhupada, and although people were not very inclined with spiritual practices and austerity, because of the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, they started to feel that there is a higher ecstasy, a higher happiness within the Krishna conscious practices, and so as a result, thousands of people take the Krishna consciousness. Ato boli bishashe kurilo vachan bhagyatara asti kuruk prabhuradarushan. After thinking this, the Mahapacha immediately informed the Mohammedan secretary, "It is a great fortune for your governor. Let him come and visit you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Pratita koriye juri niran nira astrahoya asibeka pancha sarta vritta sange loya. However, let me make it understood that he should come here without weapons. He may bring with him 5 or 7 servants. Vishasya jaya tahare Shakala Kurilo, Hindu Eshadori Se Jogona Ailo. The secretary returned to the Mohammedan governor and informed him of this news. Dressing himself like a Hindu, the Mohammedan governor then came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dohaiti Prabhu Deki, Bhumite Puriya, Dandavata Hoya, Astu Pulakito Hoya. Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from a distant place, the Mohammedan governor fell to the ground and offered obeisances. Tears came to his eyes and he was jubilant with ecstatic emotion.
Asupulakita means that also that not only tears were coming from his eyes, but his hairs were standing on end in ecstasy.
Mohapatra anilotare koryasavan johrahate purvagi loya krishnana.
Arriving in that way, the Mahamana governor was respectfully brought before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the Mahapatra. The governor then stood before the Lord with folded hands and he chanted the holy name of Krishna.
Adhama javana kule jano janamo hailo vidhi more hindu kule jano na janamailo.
The governor then submissively asked, why was I born in a Mohammedan family? This is considered a low birth. Why didn't Supreme Providence grant me a birth in a Hindu family?
Hindu haile paitam tumar charana sonidan.
If I had taken birth in a Hindu family, it would have been easy for me to remain near your lotus feet. Since my body is now useless, let me die immediately.
Atosuni mohapatro abhishta hoya prabhuke korena stuti choranek dhoriya.
Upon hearing the governor's submissive statement, the Mahapatra was overwhelmed with joy. He clasped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to offer the following prayers. Simply by hearing your holy name, a chandala, lowest of men, can be purified. Now this conditioned soul has received your person. It is no wonder that this Mahamana governor has attained such results. Simply by seeing you, all this is possible. To say nothing, this is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of a person to see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. So Prabhupada said that this is a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam 333.6. According to this verse, it doesn't matter what position a person holds. One may be the lowest of the low, a chandala, or even a dog eater. They recently passed a law in Philippines that no one should eat their pet dogs because it was making a bad publicity in America and other places when, you know, people would, they'd see the pet doggy fido and the next day they'd be on the dinner table. They were getting freaked out. So they thought it can kill the cow, but no, they can't kill the dead dog. But people are dog eaters. You can smell them. They can smell like dogs. And with the scent, like, it comes out to the skin to capture. Pig eaters. Yeah, you know, even the dog eaters look down at the pig eaters. Even a Mohammedan won't eat. Even Mohammedan, they'll never eat pig. So here it says that even the lowest of the low, if he takes to chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, he immediately is eligible to perform Vedic sacrifice. It's especially true in his age of Kali. Brihadaranyaka Purana 38.126. A person born in a Brahmana family cannot perform Vedic sacrifices until he is properly purified and has attained his sacred thread. However, according to this verse, it is understood that even a low-born person can immediately perform sacrifices if he sincerely chants and hears the holy name of the Lord. Sometimes envious people ask how Europeans and Americans in this Krishna conscious movement can become Brahmanas and perform sacrifices. They do not know that the Europeans and Americans have already been purified by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the proof. Swadopi sadhya savanaya kalpate. One may be born in a family of dog eaters, but he can perform sacrifices simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Those who find fault in the Western Vaishnavas should consider the statement from Srimad Bhagavatam and the commentary on this verse by Śrīla Jīva Goswami. In this regard, Jīva Goswami has stated that to become a Brahmana, one has to wait for purification and undergo the sacred ceremony. But a chanter of the holy name does not have to wait for the sacred ceremony. We do not allow devotees to perform sacrifice until they are properly initiated in the sacred ceremony. Yet according to this verse, an offensive chanter of the holy name is already fit to perform a fire sacrifice, even though he is not doubly initiated by the sacred ceremony. This is a verdict given by Lord Kapila Deva in his instructions to his mother, Devahuti. It was Lord Kapila Deva who instructed Devahuti in pure Sankhya philosophy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then, Tabe Mahaprabhu Tare Kripa Drishti Kori Ashwasi Akto He Tumi Ko Krishna Mohari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then glanced with mercy at the Mahamana governor, giving him assurance. He asked him to chant the holy names Krishna and Hari. It is advised that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that he advises everyone, even chandalas, mlechas, and yavanas, to chant the holy name of the Lord. In other words, one who has taken to the chanting of the holy names of Krishna and Hari has already received Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. The Lord's request to chant the holy name of Krishna is now extended to everyone in the world through this Krishna consciousness movement. Whoever follows Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions will certainly be purified, and one who sincerely chants the holy name offenselessly is already more than a brahmana. Unfortunately, there are many fools and rascals in India who do not allow Western Vaishnavas to enter certain temples. Such rascals do not clearly understand the Vedas. As stated previously, Yannamadeya Savananukirtanat. Prabhupada uses very strong words to describe the persons who don't let the Western devotees enter their temple. There are many fools and rascals who do not allow Western Vaishnavas. So that is gradually decreased. There's only one or two temples that don't allow Western devotees to go inside. There's big signs outside says for only for Hindus that they allow their Western devotees to go. Of course, we're not even a caste Hindu in that sense. We follow the Vedic culture. Even from our point of view, the Hindu Dharma has deviated from the strict Vedic culture. But from the point of view of like the Muhammad government, everything, he just sees it all as Hindu. It's hard for them to differentiate. But there is a difference between Vaishnavism and Hinduism. Hinduism is a kind of a mix. But Vaishnavism is a pure path of devotional service to Vishnu. It's the pure worship of the Supreme Personality, devotional yoga, and so on. It's the culmination between authorities. So this Mahamana governor was praying for liberation, that he had committed so many simple activities from the envious of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and killing cows. So the purport for us is very simple to do such things, and it's a great karma that one gets, but by practicing Krishna consciousness and chanting the holy name, one can't be relieved from all these karmas, and that's when one becomes eager to serve Krishna. See? I was riding in an Air Panama from Guayaquil, Ecuador to Panama City. I was sitting next to two people were sitting right near to me. They were both slightly intoxicated. And one of them, I had some cookies, prasad, so I offered, and one took the cookie prasad. One not next to me, but sitting very fully crowded flight. I was in the middle seat, uncomfortable kind of position. But that person sitting over, he took over prasad, but the one next to us says, I don't drink that stuff. So I only drink whiskey. And every time a stewardess, a girl would go by and again, he was in our pantry, he was an acquisition. He's an old guy, 50 years old. But he had, you know, had his shirt open down to here, you know, a little hair, and then he had a big gold chain, and kind of, you know, little chubby, you know, but the real, you know, debauchy kind of guy, you know. Showing his gold chain off and his chest, looking at every girl. The whole, about, you know, thing, so. And then, you know, I said, you know, I offered him a thing. He said, I gave the other guy a book. His friend, the friend is a little bit friendly. And then this person said, no, I don't believe I'm an atheist. I don't believe I'm. So, I mean, this is a tendency of a person who's very addicted to sense gratification, intoxication, drinking. The tendency is that meat eating, that they're not very eager for this type of spiritual activity. Oh, I mean, just the opposite. You know. They're totally just single, you know, they're just focused on their sensual things. They can't understand, you know. They're just like, want to stay away from anything that appears to be spiritual. So here it's nice that brings up this point that when one becomes free from one's karma, one becomes eager to serve the Lord. After being released with the mercy of the Lord, then one becomes eager. So this quality of a person where they're actually eager to chant Hare Krishna, they're eager to... Someone said, what is a symptom that I'm freed from karma? You see, as a person is chanting and he's becoming relieved from that mentality where one is just like a slave to the whatever way their senses or any object goes by, you know, they're just completely out of control, then instead they become eager to serve the Lord and they're not so affected by every stimulus that, you know, happens to go by. Not that there's no effect, you know, not that we become stones or something, there may be some desire even come in the mind, but it's described in the Bhagavad Gita that just like the rivers are constantly going in the ocean, the desires of the self-controlled, self-realized soul, they're coming constantly like that, but their mind is always steady. Because it speaks of the absolute truth. So even though so many thoughts and desires come one after another, they don't dwell on those. The self-realized soul doesn't get affected by those. He remains fixed in his Krishna consciousness. And the desires, the thoughts that come and go, he doesn't allow himself to be waylaid or misled by them. I didn't realize it's a very long story. It's very interesting, but I don't know. Then Mukunda Datta told the Mahalaya governor, my dear sir, please hear. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wishes to go to the bank again. Since the Mahalaya governor was immediately purified in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could utter the names of Krishna and Hari. Consequently, he was anxious to render some service, and the Lord aimed to fulfill his desires. Immediately had the devotee Nakunda Das inform the governor that there was a limit. This is a test. Some people say, how can I know? What is the test? That when a person is able to chant Hare Krishna and able to free from their karmas, they're able to chant with some enthusiasm, that itself is a very good sign. It's not an ordinary thing. Very good sign. So they're requesting the governor to give assistance to Lord Chaitanya. So after this, the Mahamaya governor offered prayers to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well as to the lotus feet of all his devotees. After that, the governor departed. He was very pleased. The governor, by serving the Lord, he became very pleased. Before the governor left, the Mahapatra embraced him and offered him many material gifts. He thus established a friendship with him. Notice how he embraces Mahawai. because he got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even 500 years ago, even though he was a very Mahapatra, very highly placed government officer, caste in the Varnashram system, they never raised or touched a Mohammedan, doctorate, maybe or something like that, in an intimate way. They would not like to embrace them because they're not very clean. But he embraced him, obviously, because he thought he accepted it. Since he had accepted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the names Krishna and Hari, he was purified. So even 500 years ago, in this little dealing, we can see that they accepted that someone was purified by becoming a devotee. The next morning, the governor sent his secretary with many nicely decorated boats to meet, to bring Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the other side. Mahapatra River is very big. This Narupa, the Ryan River, almost a mile wide. But it's not a very deep river. It's maybe only 20 feet deep. But it has water all year long. It's a very wide river. So it became, that's why this became, this was the border. This was the border of the Orissa. It was a very formidable barrier in terms of that type of warfare that they had 500 years ago, so that it would form the natural boundary, which was easier to defend. The other side of the river, beside the Mohammedan governor himself, worshipped Lord Chaitanya. They put Lord Chaitanya in a brand new boat, and they took him down to the Ganges, and they accompanied Lord Chaitanya to protect him from pirates. So we're going to be going to all these places with the Padayatra, celebrating Lord Chaitanya's these places.